Good morning. Grace and peace be with you on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. It is a pleasure to be in worship with you again. And because this is recorded, you can trust that on Sunday morning, I am worshiping with you and giving praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before we begin, I wanted to remind you that you can keep connected with what's happening at First United Methodist Church through our website at brightonfumc.org and also on our Facebook pages for our Brighton campus and our Whitmore Lake campus. If you are in need of assistance or would like to volunteer to assist someone with getting groceries or running errands, we have a special email address, helpinghands@brightonfumc.org. Through that, we are connecting individuals with each other who can be of service and those who need service in this difficult time. Today, as we move through worship, you will see lay readers and clergy, and you'll have the opportunity to offer song and praise through prayer and through songs led by our musicians. We will indeed be blessed. Today would normally be a time for Holy Communion. Instead, we will be offering a practice that has a Wesleyan tradition called a love feast. In order to be part of the love feast, all you need are some simple elements. So I invite you in these opening moments of worship to gather some water in a pitcher, in some glasses for those who are there, and also to have bread. It can be the bread of your household, whether that is regular white Wonder Bread, whether it's gluten-free, or you prefer pita or crackers or breads made with other grains, find some type of bread and have that available for a little bit later in the service. Today, as we celebrate Palm Sunday and look forward to the Passion of Jesus Christ, you will hear scriptures that describe that time. What we're concentrating on today is the relationship that Jesus Christ provides for us. No matter how difficult the times, God will not let us go. And now we begin worship as I introduce to you Anna Atarian, who will be bringing the traditional scripture reading for Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry of Jesus.
From Mark 11, 1 through 10. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Its master needs it,' and will send him back right away." They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told him just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessing on the kingdom of heaven of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Almighty God, on this day your Son Jesus Christ entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king. The crowd waved palm branches, and let those palm branches be a sign of our pledge to follow you. Give us hallelujahs to sing your praise. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Fuchs. In this season of Lent, we've been learning how God can take the broken pieces of our lives and make beautiful masterpieces. Whether we've been broken by regret, rejection, or rebellion, whether we are restless or burdened with responsibility, God seeks to make us whole. On this Palm Sunday, as we anticipate Holy Week and Easter, we are reminded that it is God's desire to take the broken pieces of our relationships and to make us whole. Now, we're currently living in a world where in-person, face-to-face relationships should be avoided for health reasons. This might make all of our relationships feel a bit broken because, see, we're not able to gather together with family or friends, and we need to find ways to connect and be in relationship. Now, for me and my family this week, we're celebrating that connection of family and friends as we are celebrating the birth of our granddaughter, Cassidy Marie Osberg. Now, Cassidy is the first child of our daughter, Katie, and her husband, Dave. Now, she arrived a little bit earlier than expected, and she's just a tiny little bug. She's just over 5 pounds. Now, it goes without saying that in my humble opinion, that she is the most adorable and maybe one of the most beautiful babies ever. Now, ordinarily, the extended family would all descend on their home, but that ain't gonna happen right now. And yet we found ways to celebrate together through text, through FaceTime and other means, so then that way, using technology, we can be in relationship. And you see, we are created for relationship. See, it's God's desire that we love and support one another, just as God loves us. Now, in the last day of Jesus' life on earth, he experienced the joy of steadfast friendship and the heartbreak of betrayal, denial, and abandonment. See, Jesus understands how important our connections with one another are, and he understands how frail those connections can be. Now, this morning, you're going to hear different readings, and we're going to be visiting a few scenes from Jesus' last days. How does God redeem and make whole the broken pieces of our relationships? Now, Jesus entered Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna. He visited the temple that day and continued the visits in the days that followed. Each night, he returned to Bethany, where he stayed with friends. And this is the account of what happened on one of those evenings. I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning at verse 3 and going through verse 9. I invite you to get your Bible. I'll be reading out of the NIV, the New International Version. Hear these words. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were indignantly saying to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Now, we can only speculate why the woman in Bethany gave Jesus such an extravagant gift. Now, it's obvious in some way that his ministry affected her life in an amazing and profound way. See, she was with him and his disciples at this tense and dangerous time. She may have even followed him from Jerusalem to Bethany. And in our scripture account, she's not given a name. She has no voice. And yet her anointing of Jesus with expensive oil, it speaks more eloquently than any words. You see, she was connected in love. And there's all kinds of ways that we can demonstrate our love and thankfulness for Jesus. Now, one is all flash and vigor, taking off our coats and throwing them down for a king. We may cut off branches from the palms and wave them around. We may shout until we are hoarse. But then, when we're done, we pick up our coats, we brush the dust off, and we walk away. Now this nameless woman in the house of Simon the leper, she demonstrated to us another way. She offered extravagant gratitude. Even as her generosity was questioned and mocked, she insisted on staying connected to Jesus. Relationships, they flourish in acts of gratitude and love, especially in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Even in the darkest days of Jesus' ministry, he recognized and remembered those who believed in him. The same is true today.
In Mark 14, verses 10 and 11, it says, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him." There has been much discussion of why Judas sought to betray Jesus. The Gospels of Luke and John say that the devil put the idea of betrayal into Judas' heart. Maybe he did it for the money, or because he was disappointed that Jesus wasn't working to overthrow the Roman occupiers. Some say that God used Judas for the salvation of the world. Whatever Judas' motive and the reason for handing Jesus over, the end result was that Jesus was betrayed. Their relationship was broken. Jesus was not handed over to the authorities by a stranger. Judas was a companion who had walked with him, who had prayed with him. Judas knew where Jesus would be that night and turned him in. But when Judas betrayed Jesus in the garden, Jesus did not betray in return. He did not shout, "Judas was in on it too." He didn't call back his disciples when they scattered in fear. Instead, he bore the burden of betrayal. This is the grace of Jesus Christ. Despite our tendency to be fickle with our loyalties, Jesus will not betray us. He will not abandon us. He offers mercy and grace without price. He offers forgiveness to all who ask. Moses reminded the people of God in Deuteronomy 31:8. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Paul wrote, "There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God."
Hello, everyone. Before I begin, I just want to send our very best wishes and prayers from the Hemp Hill family to all of you during this very challenging time. Today's scripture reading is from Mark 14, 26 through 31. "When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, 'You will all become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to him, 'Even though all become deserters, I will not.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he said vehemently, 'Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you.' All of them said the same." We've heard the story. We know that Peter went on to deny Jesus three times. Jesus relied on Peter, and he made it clear that the future church would rely on Peter as well. And yet, in the darkest hour of Jesus' time on earth, Peter denied he knew him. Thanks be to God that Jesus did not deny Peter. After his resurrection, Jesus asked Peter to take care of the faithful, to feed his sheep. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in Jerusalem, it was Peter who proclaimed the good news. Jesus lives! Peter, despite his act of denial, became a courageous follower of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus demonstrated a deep and redeeming love for Peter, he loves us and will not deny us, even as we struggle with our own acts of denial. In faith, we are changed and rise to new life with Jesus. Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 16, saying, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last."
Hear the word of God from Mark 15. Some women were watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger one, and Joseph, and Salome. When Jesus was in Galilee, these women had followed and supported him, along with many other women who had come to Jerusalem with him. Jesus was the Son of God incarnate, God made flesh, our Savior, fully human and fully divine. And being fully human, created as we are to be in relationship, Jesus had friends. He stayed in their homes. He shared their food. He took walks along the Sea of Galilee and even the long journeys that brought him to Jerusalem. He used their homes for teaching and healing, and his friends offered him encouragement and moments of rest. It's no wonder that his friends walked with him to Jerusalem before that fateful week when he would be arrested and crucified and die. They loved him. They wanted to support him because by his ministry, God had indeed come near and their lives were changed. How tragic that when they first entered Jerusalem, it was to shouts of Hosanna and through the week. Instead of adoration, Jesus would experience betrayal and denial. And hear the echoes of people yelling that he would be crucified. He died. And as he hung dying on a cross, the women, his friends who had accompanied him, stood at a distance and watched. Sometimes our relationships are broken, not by any action that we take, but when those relationships break due to a breach of trust, a distance that we cannot cross, our hearts are broken. Jesus knew in those last days how our hearts feel, and those women who stood on that hillside watching the one who would save them die understood as well. What could they do? Well, their practice had been to offer provision, to make sure that Jesus had what he needed. And as the sun set on the Sabbath, they made plans to provide one more time. Relationships are sustained by our commitment to one another and by deep love. In the early morning hours of Easter Sunday, they went to the tomb to provide for Jesus one last time to care for his body. And there they discovered an empty grave. What they found was God's understanding of relationship with all of humanity. For God's love is tenacious and faithful and unstoppable. Not even death can stop it. In this Holy Week observance, and as we move toward Easter, we will experience this holy time unlike any time we have before. And this whole idea of self-distancing seems to strain our relationships, not only from whom we are separated, but for those who are in the homes during this time. But even in this time of self-distancing, remember, this is the importance of God's relationship with us, that there is, through Jesus Christ, no distance. that the one who seeks to save us reaches out even now. Jesus is alive. Jesus is with us. It is our hope. Amen.
Good morning. God is good all the time. Amen. As I prepared this morning's prayer, I started to think about all the people that are self-distancing or to quarantine, whether it be self-imposed or if it's just because of the conditions. And I started to pray for them and try to give them some type of hope. And I started to think, I've been in this house for about a week and a half by myself, but I've never really considered myself alone, regardless of who's with me or who's not with me. God is always there with me. And I want you to remember that too, that God is always with you. So with that, let us bow our heads and turn to a moment of prayer. Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends, our family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling looking for help, those that are struggling with confinement at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of COVID-19. We know that you are here with us during this historic but horrific time. Relieve the needs of those who endure social distancing and self-quarantine, as well as those quarantined due to illness. During these times, it's important for us to remember that you are ever with us and will always be. When times look the darkest, you are our light. When we feel that there is no hope, you are our hope. When we feel alone and deserted, you are waiting there for us. When we feel down and broken, you are there to lift us up and restore our pieces. We pray for peace and mercy for the people that are putting their lives on the line so that we might live better through all of this. Police, firefighters, first responders, nurses, doctors. We also pray for all the people working in hospitals, grocery stores, restaurants, and the many essential workers out there to help us through. And we pray for those that have changed courses in their lives to help create and supply the hospitals, clinics, and doctors with the proper materials and supplies to help protect them as we are in need of their services. We also pray for those looking for an answer, those that seek the solution in a cure, a vaccination, or some type of relief to help us through. Give them strength and wisdom to continue on. Unite your church so that we might be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share. In the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Ordinarily, at this point in the service, we'd be passing around an offering plate or a basket, because we do share our financial gifts with each other through the church. And during these challenging times, those needs continue. And there's a number of different ways you can give. You can do it online at the church website, www.brightonfumc.org. You can click on the button and give electronically. You can mail your gifts in to the church office at 400 East Grand River in Brighton, 48116. Or you can also set up electronic giving so that every month your funds are being contributed to the church for the greater use in the world. And now, we're going to celebrate in a special way on this first Sunday in April, this Palm Sunday, and we're going to share a love feast together.
And now I invite you to join George and me as we participate in a love feast. My hope is that you've been able to bring some sort of bread product to the table and a glass or two of water, especially if you are there with family or loved ones. And so, to participate in a love feast has a long history and a great tradition in the Christian community. In the earliest church, to gather for worship meant to share a meal. So Christians have been sharing the basics that keep us sustained and life in memory of Jesus for centuries. John Wesley was introduced to the love feast when he was a missionary in Georgia. He found the Holy Spirit powerfully present, and he suggested to Methodist leaders from then on that a love feast could be a way to gather at the table and remember the times that Jesus had gathered with disciples and those he would teach. He gathered at tables in homes. He was on a hillside passing out bread and fish to thousands. And today we remember the steadfast love of Jesus Christ in this feast. We begin with a traditional meal prayer. We're going to sing it together, and you will find the words on the screen.
Be present at our table, Lord. Be here and everywhere adored. These mercies bless and grant that we may feast in paradise with thee.
From John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 32 to 35. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.
Let us pray together now the words that are printed on the screen.
Glorious God of earth and heaven, as we share this bread and water, may your faithful promises lift our spirits. May we thirst for the water of life, Jesus Christ. May the immortal bread of life, your only Son, grant us grace. Amen.
And now I invite you to share water. If you're worshiping on your own, Trust that we are connected as you take your glass of water. And as you share them, you might say something like this: believe in Christ, and you will never thirst again. And now I invite you to take some bread. And you know the promise that we can share with the bread. And that is that Jesus is the bread of life, sustaining us. And so as you take a piece of bread, just remember that. And as we eat together, Jesus is the bread of life who saves. On behalf of all the worship leaders, it has been a blessing to be in worship with you. And now remember that no matter what our worries and burdens are, we can rely on the one who has come to save. And no matter what our circumstances, we have been set free in Jesus Christ. Go now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.